love Lucy.
And I'm Diana, and I, you know, like Lucy.
And this is My Favorite Redhead, the podcast where I show Diana every I Love Lucy episode in order, and then we discuss them together until she and all of you love Lucy too.
This week's episode is number 15, Lucy Plays Cupid. Just so you guys know, I went through a lot in this episode. So, it starts off with Lucy juicing oranges when Miss Lewis comes in. Miss Lewis is another neighbor that we haven't met before. Anyway, so she asks a favor about an M.A.N. who turns out to be Mr. Ritter, the grocer, or the grocery man.
It takes a whole moment for Lucy to put together the spelling.
Yes.
Which was very cute.
And she laughs and she says, you know, that, you know, it's not funny. It's just funny imagining you having thoughts like that, which as a gray sexual is a sentiment that I come up against a lot of times. Mm-hmm. When I express that I'm attracted to somebody, like the whole room flips around and they're like, what? And I'm like, does, you know, anyway. So the joke here, of course, is that Miss Lewis is older. She's quite a bit older than Lucy. And she says, just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there's no fire in the furnace. I have to say, almost every one of her lines is a gem.
Oh, yeah.
So she has come to see Lucy because she wants Lucy's help getting Mr. Ritter to Miss Lewis's apartment for a date, basically.
She wants him to be Mr. Lewis.
Yeah. So she's been planning this date for like 5 years. She has this little note in her pocket that she's been holding on to for like 5 years. And she wants Lucy to deliver the note for her. So Lucy's like, of course, because Lucy is Lucy. And then Ricky comes in just as Miss Lewis is leaving. He's polite and whatever. And so he sits down and they have breakfast. And Lucy tells him what's going on. And he's like, I don't think you should do that. And he wants her to give him the note so that he can deliver it because he knows that Lucy's going to be Lucy. Also, there was a toaster gun gag.
Yes.
I caught it. So then they have this back and forth conversation about him not wanting her meddling in other people's lives. So at one point he says, so are you going to do what I asked, basically? And she was like, because she's Lucy. And he says, well, if you're going to act like a child, then I'm going to treat you like a child, which raised my hackles immediately. Mm-hmm. And she got up to leave and he literally grabs her by the arm, puts her over his knee, and spanked her. And I had to, like, take a moment to be like, history yikes.
It was not great. History yikes, misogyny yikes.
Yeah.
All the things.
So, we have a lot of context.
We will be discussing
this. We will be discussing this.
Yeah.
So, the next scene is Lucy goes to visit Miss Lewis, and she's ironing a dress when Lucy walks in. And I believe that this is our first time visiting another tenant that isn't the Mertzes.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one thing I thought was interesting. And actually, we paused the episode, because we pause periodically for me to take notes, but we discussed a little bit of the props in Miss Lewis's apartment. So Lucy makes a comment about the dress, and Miss Lewis said, I wanted to wear the good one, but it's in my hope chest, and the lock is rusted shut. She also has this bottle of elderberry wine that she made when she was 21. So it's old. It's real dusty.
It's been sitting there for a minute.
Yeah. So Mr. Ritter comes up, and Miss Lewis freaks out, and she hides in the kitchen and leaves Lucy to talk to him. And Lucy's just, like, polite. He leaves the groceries for Miss Lewis, and then he's gonna leave, and Lucy, because she can't help herself, calls him back and says, someone is very fond of you, and he automatically thinks it's her. And she's like, wait, no, no, it's not me, it's somebody else. And then she hands him Miss Lewis's note to be like, this will explain everything, but of course it's very vague and it's signed your secret lover. So that just reinforces that he thinks it's Lucy, even though she's being very vocal about mm-hmm. how it's not her and she doesn't like it and she's running away from him and he's very aggressive with her. And that was very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But then the scene ends. We're back in the Ricardo's apartment. Miss Lewis appears and she explains that she panicked when when she realized that Mr. Ritter thought that Lucy was his secret admirer, she panicked and she went and ran laps around the park.
Outran some horses.
Yeah. But Lucy's freaking out because Mr. Ritter thinks the dinner is going to be at the Ricardo's apartment, and of course, Ricky is set to be home around the same time. And it turns out that Mr. Ritter is not put off by this. In fact, he likes it because he wants to confess the affair to Ricky and advise him to get a divorce and all this other stuff. So Miss Lewis is distraught, and she asks Lucy's advice in attracting men. And so we have a little girl bonding scene of Lucy trying to teach her how to swing her hips and how to do, like, come hither eyes. And it's just very funny because Miss Lewis has some mobility issues, and she's not very practiced in some of these areas. And I think it's more about clumsiness than disability. So then Ricky calls and says he's not coming home. So Lucy decides that what she's going to do is she's going to just disappoint Mr. Ritter so Miss Lewis can swoop in and scoop him up. And Miss Lewis starts listing off all the qualities that Mr. Ritter likes in a woman. And so that gives Lucy her idea. So one of the things he likes in a woman is that she's a nice dresser. So when he shows up, of course, she's got this mismatched outfit on, and she's got this weird headband, and she just looks really sloppy when he arrives, and he doesn't seem put off too much by it. He also likes an immaculate housekeeper, and of course there's a table set up in the middle of the room, and it's set pretty messily, and the utensils look dirty, and it's gross. And dinner, or at least the first course of dinner, is just cans of tomato juice. And
straight out of the can.
Straight out of the can.
With the lid still partially attached.
And Lucy says she put some Tabasco in it. And this was one of those moments when Brianna was watching me very closely, because I have an extreme sensitivity to chilies. So that gag hurt me physically.
I knew it would.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy her pain. I'm not mean. Don't think that, listeners. I just wanted to see her face. And it didn't disappoint.
Yeah, it was awful. We need to get back to you taking pictures of me suffering. You know, for the clicks. So she offers him some biscuits, and he says, yes, please. But then she drops them on the floor, and they're also hard. The next course is soup, and hers, she waters down, but his is basically just Jell-O. It's horrible. And then she asks him, oh, do you like turkey with stuffing? And he's like, yes, I love it. And she's like, we're not having that. Do you like pot roast? Yes, I love it. We're not having that. But she's like, we've got steaks. And he's like, oh, great. Steaks are expensive. I can, you know, I stock them, but I can't afford them. And she brings a steak out, and it's on fire. It's just flaming in the pan. And she
says it's sizzling.
Yeah. She puts it out with the seltzer bottle and also a broom. At this point, it's burnt hard, so she has to use a chisel and a hammer to cut it. He says he's actually just not hungry. He's actually just not going to eat. And so she's like, oh, well, you know, I'm a sloppy dresser and the house is a mess and you don't like my food and you're going to leave and never come back. And he's like, no, because we're in love. And so we're going to stick this thing out and I'll just cook until you learn how. And she says, be quiet, you're going to rape the children. And the one thing is that he hates children. He's like, wait, children? Like those nasty, sticky, horrible things. Which, I'm going to memorize that rant. So she says, yes, of course, these children. And then the door opens and all of these children come out. Now, I want to address Dana specifically for a moment. She lives in New York.
Yes.
Where do these children come from? Are they just like packs of feral children? I don't know where you live specifically, but can you just like go down to the street corner with a butterfly net and just like get a whole, like, pack of children and take them back to your house. It was the 50s.
These children were unemployed. They were down at the unemployment office looking for work, and Lucy is a job creator.
So you just went down there and said, I'll give you a lollipop if you come hang out in my bedroom for an hour and scare this man away.
Well, that sounds a lot worse. But maybe. I don't know.
So that's my question. So Ricky comes home, and on his way up, Miss Lewis corners him and pulls him into her apartment. And he's like, okay, what can I do for you? And she attempts all of her new skills on him, and he's like immediately weirded out and like visibly weirded out.
The look on his face was the look I get on my face when anyone I know starts acting weird, because I have to monitor them to make sure they're not having a stroke.
Yeah, and he was like, look, he actually like was like, do I need to call an ambulance?
Yeah.
Like, are you okay, ma'am?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the look you give people.
And she's like, no, I'm trying to keep you out of your house. And he's like, oh, and of course he immediately puts it together.
Razzmatazz.
Yeah. And of course it's hilarious to him because he's literally Ricky Ricardo. So mm-hmm. there's no way that Lucy's having an actual affair, especially not with the grocer. So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to have some fun with this. And he laughs and laughs. And Miss Lewis says that he's the first man she's ever flirted with, and he was very sweet to her.
Yeah.
That was a very cute scene.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Except sometimes apart to from his
that,
wife.
That one thing earlier. And some lines in earlier episodes. But that's a history, yikes.
Mm-hmm.
But also the last little kid to come out of the bedroom had like a full-on like mini
so cute.
Outfit with the sleeves and the little bitty conga, and I gotta know if she just found a kid like that, or if Ricky had a mini Ricky outfit, and the kid was like, that's gonna fit
just
me.
Just in case we ever need this.
Yeah, that's the question I have about that. So Mr. Ritter's keeping a count. That's 24 and a half children. And she still says, what, six are missing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that's too much. Mr. Ritter's still not put off, though, which is wild. Ricky comes in and he's all smiles and he's like, you know what, Mr. Ritter, you can just have her. And he's just totally ready to give Lucy away. And she says, wait a minute, can the football say something? Which is also a line that I liked. So Mr. Ritter's still not put off. Lucy's trying to get away from him because Ricky's just stormed off to pack his bags. And so Mr. Ritter is chasing Lucy around the house. Like, you know that one scene in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride? You know the one. Everybody knows that one scene. And during the course of this, Miss Lewis comes in, and he's like, huh, because, you know, that never gets old. And, but then she corners him, and she tries her hip swinging and her come hither look on him, and he's like, oh, hey, actually.
She gave him the full whammy.
Yeah, she did the whole thing. I mean, she had been practicing on Ricky.
Yeah.
So that was the magic ingredient. And
if you
then
start at the boss battle, the henchmen are going to be much easier in comparison.
Exactly. So then they leave the apartment together. And that's the end of the episode.
Alrighty. This episode aired January 21st, 1952, and was filmed on December 13th, 1951. It was written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh Davis, and Bob Carroll Jr., and directed by Mark Daniels. It was loosely based on the My Favorite Husband radio episode, Valentine's Day, which I warned her before we started watching this, that, like, if you think that the TV episode is bad, the radio episode is worse.
Yeah.
So, basically, it's a very similar premise, and the Cooper's maid, Katie, has a crush on the butcher, and he ends up thinking that Liz has feelings for him. But it somehow escalates to the point that they end up in court because,
oh, wow.
Yeah,
Liz, that took a turn.
Yeah, Liz got arrested for robbing the USPS because the letter got mailed she had to take it back. And then the post office guy was like, that's the postal service property. And so it was a whole thing. So
imagine a plot line being too outlandish from I Love Lucy.
Yeah, they end up in court and basically George and the butcher are in there, like, fighting for custody of this full-grown woman. And, like, they have to decide if she gets to go with the creepy-ass butcher who just decided that he liked her. Or her husband, who she was, like, consensually married to and actually wanted to be with. And at no point did anyone ask her opinion on this. So that was another misogyny yikes, but that's beside the point. So, this episode didn't feature William Frawley or Vivian Vance.
Oh, I noticed that, too.
Yeah, and I know William Frawley wasn't in last week, either, so I don't know if, like, the Yankees were just still in the World Series. Because, you know, it takes, like, 7 games. Eh, who cares about them? But, I don't know why they didn't have Ethel in it, but, like, can you imagine if there had been another woman there and on the show?
I honestly, when Miss Lewis came in, my first thought was, that's not Ethel.
Yeah.
Who is this just walking into the Ricardo's house?
Fun thing about her and the connection to Ethel that I'll get to momentarily. But so we got another instance of the portrait lighting when Lucy was talking to Miss Lewis about how she could discourage Mr. Ritter. And, like, you know, she just looks so beautiful and angelic and like a painting. And I know that those shots were difficult to do, and a lot of people feel kind of weird about them because they look a little bit out of place, but I just think that they're very pretty and I enjoy them.
Yeah.
So, Edward Everett Horton played Mr. Ritter, and he was born in 1886 to a German dad and a Scottish mom who, interestingly enough, was actually born in Cuba.
Yeah.
So, that's a fun little connection there. And he began performing in vaudeville and on Broadway before moving to Hollywood and working in movies. And he was one of the few actors who survived the transition from silent to talkies, so good for him. And he was in a ton of movies and radio shows and TV shows. And he's probably best known today for appearing in Arsenic and Old Lace with my boyfriend, Cary Grant, and Top Hat. And he also is pretty well remembered for his appearances on the Adam West Batman TV show and the TV show F Troop, and for voicing the narrator of the Fractured Fairy Tales on Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Mom's a big fan of the Fractured Fairy Tales.
Yeah, they're pretty fun. And like, you can totally tell that he was a beloved actor at the time based on the way that the audience reacted and the way that he gets like a special credit at the end during the credit sequence. And Bea Benaderet played Miss Lewis. And she is a character who won't appear again, unfortunately, but she will be, like, mentioned again in passing. So it's kind of like she's there. And
yeah.
I feel like she's almost like a prototype for a character we meet in season 2, Mrs. Trumbull, who's one of my personal favorite side characters on this show. But we'll discuss her in due time, I guess. So Bea Benaderet was born in 1906 and began her career in local theater as a child and started acting professionally at 16. And she did a lot of theater before getting into radio in the 20s, and she was on like a ton of the biggest radio shows, including Burns and Allen, and of course My Favorite Husband, where she played Iris Atterbury. So she was the original Ethel, basically.
That's cool.
Yeah, and she was actually Lucille Ball's first choice to play Ethel, but because she had been on the Burns and Allen radio show and they were transitioning to TV around the same time, she was contractually bound to appear on that show, so she was busy and couldn't do I Love Lucy. And that was when they went and found Vivian Vance, which obviously is the best choice, but I love Bea Benaderet, she would have been fun too. So she's best known today for her role as Kate Bradley on Petticoat Junction and Green Acres, and also her voice acting work as Granny in the first Sylvester and Tweety cartoons, and my personal favorite role of hers, Betty Rubble on the Flintstones.
Oh, she was Betty Rubble. Oh.
I'm a Flintstones loving bitch, and she's one of my favorite people just for being on.
It's funny because we were just talking about the Flintstones movie yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Rosie O'Donnell.
Always talking about the Flintstones movie. But
it was a big part of my childhood, not gonna lie.
Me too. It's also a big part of my adulthood still. It's one of my
favorite. We rewatched
films.
It like last year at some point.
On my birthday.
Yeah, that's what it was. And Nina and I were like, this still holds up.
It does. I don't care what anyone says. A lot of people we'll trash that movie, but they are wrong. Like, don't at me, but go rewatch it. It holds up. But she's not in that movie, but she is great. So actually, you know, she's playing this, like, old lady character, but at the time of this episode, she was only 46, which is, like, 5 years older than Lucille Ball, but they had her made up to be an old lady, and she's really, really pretty out of her, like, old lady drag. Mm-hmm. So we will definitely post some pictures on Instagram just so you guys can have a look at that. When she passed away from lung cancer in 1968, they wrote her character out of Petticoat Junction by saying that she was out of town because they didn't want to like bum the audience out with having a character death, which I think is fair. But she also was on the Beverly Hillbillies as Jethro's mom, Cousin Pearl. She was really fun on that, and she was such a popular side character that that's when they got the idea to give her her own show. And so Petticoat Junction was originally going to be like a spinoff to the Beverly Hillbillies, but it just kind of ended up being set in the same universe. And there's another connection that there was a radio show, and it only lasted like 6 episodes, but it was called Granby's Green Acres, and she was on the show as the female lead, and her male lead was Gail Gordon, who played Rudolph Atterbury on My Favorite Husband, and he also goes on to star with Lucy in all of her other subsequent sitcoms.
Wow.
And on this radio show, Granby's Green Acres, they basically were playing the characters that would go on to be on the TV show Green Acres, which is one of my other favorite shows. And it's very fun. And actually, because it's only 6 episodes, I didn't have to listen to it to prepare for this episode, but I did anyways, and it's very fun. And if you're an old-time radio person, seek it out. You will enjoy it.
She's an overachiever.
And also just a nerd. So, and there was one little continuity goof, or like production goof, I guess. During the conversation with Miss Lewis when she's in the Ricardo's apartment, you can hear a cymbal crash in the background at one point because one of the guys in the band dropped his cymbal. They don't do reshoots, so it's just in the show, which I think is really funny. So, now on for our super fun discussion, I'm sure. So this episode is pretty polarizing among Lucy fans, and I do have to admit it's not one of my favorites. Mr. Ritter is, he's just a creep. There's no way around it. And, like, the no means yes of it all is gross as fuck.
Yeah.
And, but it's kind of a bummer that there's unfun things in this episode because the guest stars are both so great and there are so many, like, fun lines in this episode that you just kind of wish the other stuff wasn't also there. And I adore Bea Benaderet, and I wish she'd guest starred again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And, like, this is one of those times where Lucy gets into a sticky situation that isn't her fault. Like, she's trying to help someone. She's trying to help a friend. And, like, everyone was super unchill about it. She ends up with this, you know, lecherous dude chasing her around, and her husband's mad at her and spanking her like she's a child, and it's kind of a bummer, and, like, the spanking thing is super uncomfortable, and it just doesn't play in 2021 the way that it apparently did in the 50s, because I think that happens, like, 4 times over the course of the series that we see him spank her, and the audience laughs every time, and it just kind of falls flat if you're not, like, there in the 1950s.
Yeah.
So, thoughts? I can't see you wincing, cringing. So.
Yeah. No, I agree. I can see how it kind of is like the diet, and Lucy thinks Ricky's trying to murder her, and then it does have these unfortunate moments in it. I really did like the interplay between her and Miss Lewis. I thought Miss Lewis was darling, and I would have loved to see a ton more of her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Every word out of her mouth was hilarious. I actually, despite the fact that I was mad at Ricky, I actually thought the scene between Ricky and Miss Lewis was very cute. Yeah, so I feel like there were some gems in it, but I also kind of was like, oh boy.
Yeah, so it's one of those, like, mixed bags for sure, because there is a lot of funny stuff, and I don't hate the episode or anything. I just wish that some of
those elements weren't there.
I wish some of that gross stuff didn't happen. But, you know, that's part of the joy of this show, is being uncomfortable sometimes when the 50s are super different than today.
Yep.
So, anyways. So, on for our pop culture section. So during the scene where Ricky calls Lucy from the drugstore, you see this Philip Morris advertisement. And we talked a little bit about the company because they were the show's sponsor, but we haven't really done, like, a pop culture spot on them.
Did they have a little bit in the audition? Was that what it was?
In the audition, there's, like, a reference to it because Lucy, like, looks at the camera, like, directly in the camera when she's saying, like, oh, if you have your sponsor's product, the beautiful girl always, you know, waxes the floor with it or drives off in it or smokes it. So, like, that was the reference.
Wasn't there another line
Morris
at one point where she was like, our friends Philip and our friend Morris or something like
when
that?
When they have the one cigarette left when they have the apartment split down the center. Yeah, so there have been references here and there to Philip
product
Morris
placement.
Yeah, so, like, and that's part of them being the sponsor. But not Philip Morris, because I don't want to be sponsored by a cigarette company.
That's fair.
But. They're not allowed to do that anymore. That's something that's going to come up here in my research in a moment. But, yeah, so we haven't really discussed them too much because aside from those, like, you know, product placements and odd references or mentions here and there, they haven't really been in the show. They've just been kind of like the specter behind the show. But because of this one, and you very clearly see the ad on the show, and like Ricky is standing by the ad, and there's a real cigarette sticking out of the ad, and he plucks it off the wall and smokes it, which I am not a smoker, but I feel like if there was just like a random cigarette sticking out of an ad in the wall, I wouldn't take it because I would feel too much like the fairy
food. Who else has put their...
that you don't eat. Yes. Also, who else has touched this thing that I'm about to put in my mouth?
Also, bold move to just have your product just out there, especially a product people are addicted to, just like on the wall. Like, whose job is it to restock that thing?
I wonder if it's just like a part of the gag. Like, you put this ad next to the phone so that people can smoke it while they're just standing there on the phone talking to their wives. But anyways.
Their unfaithful cheating wives.
So the company was founded in 1854 by the actual Philip Morris, who's a guy. And that first cigarette that they created in 1854 was still available until 2017.
Oh, wow.
So that was a long-lasting style, but they finally had to discontinue it. And so this company is actually huger than I thought. It's kind of like Nestle, where you look into them a little bit and you think, oh, they obviously just own chocolate, but then you find out that they are, like, you know, personally responsible for nobody in California having water, and also they own, like, Purina and Hot Pockets and shit. But, like, anyways, this is about Philip Morris, not them. So they own, like, a whole bunch of other companies, including, like, for 20 years almost, they own Kraft Foods.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because Kraft is like its own juggernaut now.
Mm-hmm. Which I think during the time that Philip Morris owned them, they were already acquiring other companies. So basically those companies that were under them were, you know, could be traced back to Philip Morris. And they also own a whole bunch of other cigarette brands, including Marlboro, which apparently was originally marketed towards women. And that's why they were like, oh, we'll put this little...
I think I did know that.
Yeah, that checks out. We'll put this little, like, red part on the box that looks like a roof. Yeah. Because I guess, you know, women like houses or something. I don't know.
Were they the ones that had the red filter so the lipstick stain wouldn't show up?
Possibly. I didn't read that, but that sounds like something that would be...
I know there was a cigarette that had a red filter.
And they also owned Chesterfield, which was Lucy's brand. And it's actually really funny. I don't know if they owned Chesterfield at the time, but she was... one of her first big modeling gigs was modeling for Chesterfield cigarettes. And that was her brand that she always smoked. And when they were first getting the show going and they were having trouble finding a sponsor for the show, and they came to her and they said, okay, we finally got one. It's Philip Morris. She was like, oh gosh, don't let them find out I smoke Chesterfields. So whenever they would have scenes where you see Lucy and Ricky pulling cigarettes out of a Philip Morris package, she actually had her Chesterfields smuggled into the Philip Morris package because she wasn't about to smoke something she didn't smoke. But and also, just for the record, the reason why nobody wanted to sponsor the show was because of racism, because they were like, oh, who's going to watch that show with that Cuban man being married to that white woman? Ugh. But a lot of people watched it, so suck it. But anyways. also, Philip Morris, to this day, owns Juul. The Juul pods that all the kids smoke. The things that look like little flash drives, but they're actually vape pens.
Huh.
So they own those, and that's like the most popular thing for young people to smoke, apparently. But anyways, the character of
I'm so uncool. I'm like, what's a Juul pod? Is that like the Tide Pods?
Like, look them up. They look like...
I'm so uncool,
they
dude.
They look like USB drives. It's weird.
Oh, I know what that is. Now you say it. I'm like, oh, I've seen those. Yeah. But I don't know.
So, the character of Philip Morris, the little bellboy that was on the ad that Ricky was standing by, he was called a living trademark, in air quotes here, by the company. And he was played by an actor named Johnny Roventini. And he was a little person, and he had been discovered working as a bellhop. And the company had started using this bellhop image in, like, World War I. And then in the 30s, the ad execs were like, you know what, we should get a real person to play this character. We want a living trademark. And so they went to this hotel because they heard about Johnny and they thought that he would be a good fit for the part. And they heard he had this, like, distinctive voice and distinctive look, and they were like, perfect. So they go to the hotel, and they're just kind of sitting there watching him while he's working, which is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And and then they had Philip Morris paged. And the character, his trademark is saying, call for Philip Morris. And he says it in this, like, call for Philip Morris kind of way. It's very funny. Mm-hmm. But that was his catchphrase. And so they were like, let's page Philip Morris so we can hear him walking around yelling out the phrase, call for Philip Morris. And so he's just, like, doing his job, walking around, yelling his full head off. Yeah. And there's no Philip Morris there. But they were like, actually, yeah, let's hire this guy. So they ended up hiring him to be the spokesperson, and he was, like, such a big deal. Like, he ended up, like, becoming kind of actually famous. Like, there's this picture out there where he's sitting on Marlena Dietrich's lap, which...
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's not a bad place to be by any means, but, like, good for him. So he ended up working for the company until 1971, when Congress banned cigarette ads from TV and radio. And he did personal appearances for the company until his retirement in 1974. And he actually did a lot of ads for Philip Morris with Lucy and Desi. And he's also, like, on the original opening for the show. Like, it opens with the Philip Morris logo, and then they'll be like, Philip Morris Cigarettes presents I Love Lucy. And then it has, like, the little stick figures, because the heart opening that most of us are more familiar with, that wasn't added until syndication.
Hmm.
And I actually have a video with an ad from one of the episodes where it has the Philip Morris character, and then it shows the stick figures, and then it opens up to this guy being like, do you inhale?
Ugh,
and it's actually really
so
funny. Like, we watched it just now, and it was so weird.
Oh my God.
So I found that on YouTube, and I will go ahead and drop that in the show notes in case any of you guys want to be weirded out by it too.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you're here. But yeah, so anyways, all of the ads that Johnny ended up filming with Lucy and Desi, they actually ended up becoming really good friends. And during that whole situation where Lucille Ball was being looked into for being registered as a communist, he actually heard what was going on, and he got on the next flight from New York to LA so that he could go and be with her and Desi, because, you know, you want to be there to support your friends during times when the nation thinks that they're traitors, apparently. So I thought that was very sweet of him. But also, another fun fact, Johnny Roventini is my birthday twin. He was born on August 15th, just like me. So he's a Leo King, and we love that for him. And that was about all for our pop culture section today, but I thought he was pretty interesting.
That's interesting.
So, favorite lines?
I've got to go through this again. I actually did write them down this time. So, I liked Miss Lewis spelling out M-A-N.
Yeah.
I liked, just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there's no fire in the furnace. That was adorable. When she says, I wanted to wear the good one, but it's in my hope chest and the lock is rusted shut. Like, when she says, you're the first man I've ever flirted with. And Ricky was like, you're cute.
Yeah.
That was adorable.
That was one of the ones I wrote down, too.
Yeah. Wait a minute, can the football say something?
Yeah.
And then at one point, he was like, I'll take you even with the kids. And Ricky's like, wait, kids?
Yeah.
And Mr. Ritter says, say, you really did hide those kids.
I have a picture. I will show it to you now while we're recording so that the audience can hear your reaction.
Oh dear.
It's not terrible.
Is it not?
It's a little bit, but not really. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's all the children, and...
she really did hide those kids.
Yeah. So we'll also toss this picture on Instagram, and because this is an audio medium and y'all can't see it right now, I will describe. It's Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz, Bea Benaderet, and Edward Everett Horton, and the 10 unnamed children.
Including the kid with the mini conga.
Who is just very cute. Like, I like children, so I'm just looking at this like, oh, look at all of them. And she's just like, ah, look at all of them.
How did you fit all of them in that tiny master bedroom?
How would Lucy have housed 30 children, 31.
Okay, no, but
in
do you remember
a one-bedroom apartment in New York?
Do Do you remember that one episode with the surprise party and they crammed all of those party mm-hmm. guests in the closet?
Also, yes, of course I remember.
Yeah, I know. It's just reading into it. So they crammed a lot of adults into that closet.
Yeah.
So I feel like
that, this is a similar principle.
Yeah, they're smaller.
Yeah.
They stack. So
you can grab more of these guys in one space. I like how a lot of the boys are wearing stripes.
Yeah.
And the girls, well, except for this one here who's also in stripes, seem to be in plaids. But
also plaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stripes and plaid. Good for her. But anyways.
So where in New York in a small apartment do you hide large groups of children?
Yeah.
Dana, let us know.
It's not a huge apartment, and you know, she's rocking 31 children. So my favorite lines, getting back to that discussion, mm-hmm. like you, I picked a lot of Miss Lewis's lines because she is
a gem.
Riot, yeah. So, like when she's like, Mrs. Ricardo, would you teach me how to attract the opposite? And she glances around her furtively. Sex. It was so funny.
I'm actually surprised they allowed that.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
I guess maybe because she
in context.
She meant sex as in gender.
Yeah, but
still and not word. Sex as in bonking, but would you have preferred if I'd said fucking? I might have to put that in the blooper reel. And also when Lucy's teaching her how to shift her hips gently from one side to the other, and she says, "That's easy for you, I've got a rusty transmission,"
which same.
Relatable. And also when Ricky's like, really? I didn't even look at her wrapper. That was very funny to me. So did you have any other thoughts? Anything else you wanted to share with the class?
No, I just really wish we could see Miss Lewis again. She was fun.
Yeah, she was fun.
I'd be at her apartment all the time.
Yeah, and also that one part in the apartment when we were discussing all the things in there, and it looks like she has that bird in a bird cage. It's funny because she voiced Granny and Tweety.
Yeah.
So it's like the proto-Tweety bird.
Yeah. It'd be funny if she had a cat.
Yeah. Mrs. Trumbull has a cat.
Well, there you go.
But anyways, next week we will be discussing Lucy Fake's illness.
Oh, dear.
In which our poor dear Lucy struggles and like really, really, really wants Ricky to know that she's really struggling. So we will have fun with that, I'm sure. Thank you guys very much for listening, and please come back next time. Bye!
Bye!
Subscribe to us on your favorite podcatcher to make sure you never miss an episode.
And follow us on Instagram at MyFavoriteRedhead, on Tumblr and Facebook at MyFavoriteRedheadPodcast.
Tweet us at MyFaveRedhead or drop us a line at MyFavoriteRedheadPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you love Lucy and you enjoy our show, give us a good rating and review.